You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
The Coalition Government has made changes to the Residential Tenancies Act, including allowing landlords to charge an additional bond of up to 2 weeks' rent on top of the standard four-week bond if a tenant wishes to have a pet on the property. No-cause evictions have also been reinstated, allowing landlords to evict their tenants without providing a reason, provided they give them 90 days' notice. For our weekly interview with the ACT Party, I spoke to MP Simon Court about these changes. Here is that interview. Why do you believe that it's necessary to allow landlords to charge an additional bond of up to 2 weeks' rent, which you're calling pet bonds?
Well, it does provide another opportunity for families with pets to get into a home if they're renting. There are some real challenges for people with pets, whether they're dogs or cats or hamsters, to get into a rental property, because landlords can't be confident that if the pet does a little bit of damage, they can recover the cost for that. So providing an upfront mechanism where renters can say, I've got a pet, the landlord can say, that's okay, we'll just require you to pay another 2 weeks' bond to cover any potential damages a pet might do. We think it's going to be really helpful, and particularly to women in situations where their families are separating or they arrive at a refuge and they have pets, and their biggest worry is, where will we go with our family pets? So we think this is going to be really helpful.
Wait, why women specifically?
Well, when families separate, often it's the mums who take the kids and have the responsibility to look after the pets. And what we've heard anecdotally is that this policy change, which allows for pet bonds, will make it much easier for them to be rehomed, to find permanent rental properties.
What would you believe is the average cost of pet damage to a property in a year?
I have no idea. I'm a civil engineer. I could tell you what it might cost to, you know, fix a concrete manhole. But what I do know is that if tenants are causing fair wear and tear, then the bond won't be called on. This is only for more extraordinary damage that is beyond fair wear and tear.
Landlords can still refuse to take on tenants with pets, even if the tenants have met reasonable grounds to do so. So why not then make it compulsory for a landlord to take on a tenant with a pet under this policy, at least if a tenant has met reasonable grounds to have a pet on the property?
Well, one thing just about the ACT Party is that we don't compel people to do things, and we certainly wouldn't be compelling people, private property owners, to take on tenants, for example. So we just think this is another way to relax the restrictions and to provide opportunities for people to freely engage in contracting together, willing seller, willing buyer, willing renter, willing landlord. We don't think compulsion is necessary. We certainly think it's important that for lots of families who have pets and who are renting, that this will give them more options to get into a rental property that's sustainable, that's in the place they want to live, that's near schools, that's near work.
The Coalition Government has also recently announced 90-day no-cause evictions, and you've removed an amendment that laid out some justifiable reasons for eviction, such as, you know, antisocial behaviour or consistently paying their rent late. Why do you believe it is necessary for landlords to be able to evict their tenants within 90 days without providing a specific reason?
Well, previously, under the rules that the Labor government introduced, the requirement to end a tenancy, to terminate a contract, required multiple complaints about antisocial behaviour to the tenancy tribunal. And in many cases, neighbours and other people on the property were very reluctant to complain because it meant they'd be identified and they were concerned about the blowback. These rules, which required multiple examples of antisocial behaviour to be notified, meant that a lot of mum and dad landlords, people with one or two rental properties, they just didn't want to enter the rental market and have to face this this concern. If they had a bad tenant, how on earth were they going to get rid of them? They didn't feel confident that they could follow the process. And as a result, a lot of these properties, and particularly in places like Queenstown, where there's a huge shortage of rental property for workers, simply didn't come onto the market as rentals. They were held back and used for Airbnb and Bookabatch, for example. So these changes mean that it's going to be much easier for people with one or two rental properties, what we call the mum and dad landlords, to get back into the rental property market. We believe it's going to lead to an increased supply of properties and a downward pressure in the long term over rents.
How about in the inverse? Does the government have any plans to introduce policy to protect tenants who have made multiple complaints against their landlord and have to also go through that lengthy process with the tenancy tribunal if their living conditions are not adequate?
Well, we have a whole lot of standards that have been brought in, such as the Healthy Home Standards, which landlords, people renting out properties to tenants are required to follow. And so I would expect that if a tenant identifies that a home is not up to scratch and they follow the process, then an action will be taken to notify the landlord and to require them to make good on their obligations. This government is not doing anything to take away the responsibility of landlords to provide healthy homes for tenants. We think it's really, really important. If there's going to be a willing landlord contract, that the landlord provides their end of the bargain as well, which is a warm, dry, healthy home.
What would you say are unjustifiable reasons for evicting a tenant within that 90-day period?
Well, the test isn't whether there's a justification or not. The test is, does the landlord own a property? Do they want to do something else with it? And therefore, what is a reasonable notice period for them to let the tenant know? And we believe that 90 days is quite reasonable. In 90 days' time, the landlord will need the property back to do something else with it. And we think that's entirely reasonable.
I suppose some people might struggle to understand if they are meeting their obligations as a tenant, they've done everything right, but then they get evicted and they're not given a reason why. Do you think that this is fair?
Well, I think what is fair is that we increase the supply of rental properties into the market. There is quite a bit of anecdotal evidence that a whole lot of properties are being withheld. They're being held back for Airbnb or simply allowed to remain empty because landlords are fearful of contracting with tenants under the current rules. So while if somebody was to receive notice from a landlord that the landlord's going to need the property back and the landlord's not required to provide a whole list of reasons why, I think the important thing is that the tenants know there will be a ready supply of rental properties that they need at an affordable price. And we think the policy changes we're making are going to bring more supply into the market and mean that tenants have more choice. So no doubt, it's very disruptive to have to move your home, your family, and so on. But if there's more supply in the market, then the disruption should be minimal. And hopefully, in the long run, prices will stabilise and settle down.
And when would you expect this might happen for there to be more affordable rental homes in the market by under this policy?
Well, this is just one policy of many that this government is introducing to make homes more affordable in the long run. We have to reform the Resource Management Act. Currently, it's very expensive and complex to build large volumes of affordable homes, whether they're in greenfields, in other words, new areas, new subdivisions, or building up in the city. Some of that is partly to do with planning restrictions. A lot of it is to do with the cost of providing infrastructure and the very restrictive rules and limited opportunities that councils and central government have to access long-term funds. For example, engaging in public partnerships to get money from the private sector or big institutions like ACC or Superfund or our KiwiSavers to invest in infrastructure that might have a 50 or 100-year lifetime. If we can get deals done like that, we'll be able to build subdivisions more affordably and therefore we'll have more affordable homes in time. changes to the rental market, changes to planning laws, changes to infrastructure funding and financing, changes to the Building Act to allow building materials from comparable OECD countries to be used here as of right. All of these things are going to have an effect. It's going to be a few years before we see it land, but our aspiration is that for the people studying at university now and going out into the workplace, around about the same time that I did, around about the age of 30, they should be able to think about getting into their own home, and they should see it as affordable and possible and worth saving for and worth sticking around in New Zealand for. So that's our objective. It's going to take a little while.
That was ACT MP Simon Court on pet bonds and no-cause evictions.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.